Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
Rick, my cousin and I were chatting about his mom last week. He's quite protective of her. She was recently widowed, and she had commented to him on the financial burden of maintaining her life policy, which got me thinking afterwards. Firstly, why would someone in their late 70s keep a life policy in place that they won't benefit from? And then secondly, since she has adult children and no liabilities, shouldn't she cancel it? Or perhaps could my cousin take over the investment? What are the options here?
Yeah, look, Sean, that's a great question. And it's actually very similar to one I had recently. I had an 80-year-old father of a client of mine. His son was a client, and he was suggesting to his son to take over this payment on his life insurance policy. Look, for him, as an 80-year-old, he was just finding the premium cost was escalating, you know, and he was quite attached to this life policy. He had had it since he was in his 40s, I think, and it was starting to get unaffordable. And he offered it, I guess, to his son. He said, you know, let's keep this in place and you can benefit from the policy payout if you take over paying the premiums from now going forward.
Okay.
Look, and he also, like your aunt, has no liabilities. He has no dependents. He just felt he didn't want to cancel it, basically, and he wanted his son to take it over. So for us, we were looking at it and we thought, well, there are definitely questions to answer. But before we get there, you mentioned the word investment in your question.
Yeah, I probably did. Is life insurance not an investment?
Look, the nature of insurance is that you're paying a premium, let's call it a monthly premium that you're paying,
right,
and you're insuring yourself against a specific risk. And in this case of life cover, the risk is of death. So insurance is not an investment. There's no portion of that premium that goes to an investment. It's purely paying it to a life company to insure you against the risk of death, and then it pays out.
Okay.
So without knowing the details of your aunt's estate and whether liquidity is needed and, you know, whether she actually needs this life cover in her estate, but let's assume that it's not an issue and that actually she doesn't need this life cover any longer. In this scenario, we can actually just simply look at the expected future premiums payable by your aunt or your cousin, if he takes it over, versus this ultimate life payout that is due on your aunt's life. But I think before we even get there, it's so important to make sure of one thing, and that is whether it's a whole of life policy. It cannot be a term policy which would terminate automatically.
Wait a second. Are you saying that life cover could have a predetermined date to it? So not necessarily the end of your life, but before you pass away?
Yeah, so not all life cover is what we call whole of life, okay? So you need to make sure that this is a whole of life policy. So if it's a term policy, yes, a term policy ends, and it ends on a certain date or age of the life insured, okay? The cover simply falls away, the premiums stop being paid, and that's it. There's no investment. Remember, it's not an investment.
Okay, I had no idea.
Okay, so that's the first thing. It needs to make sure that we're dealing with a whole of life policy. Okay, another majorly important thing is you need to make sure that the premium pricing pattern, and what I'm talking about here is the escalation of the premium over time, is not exorbitant. And you can get that from the life company. You'll be able to request what is the pattern. In other words, will it go up by 20% a year? And that often is the case. So you really need to make sure that you're not being sort of priced out of the market almost. Okay.
Cheapest, making it super unaffordable.
Exactly, exactly. So, and then the other question to ask, which nobody can answer, obviously, is how long your aunt will still live for. So
right.
We don't have an answer for that. So what I suggest is that your cousin just put together, once he's answered if it's a whole of life policy and whether the premium pricing pattern looks okay, we'll put it down into a spreadsheet and then literally work it out based on, you know, what cover's available and her age, basically, and then what premium will he be paying over the term. The other thing that's worth noting is that any life cover is a deemed asset in an estate. So in other words, 20% estate duty is payable on the payout in your aunt's estate. So
sure,
he needs to just factor that in.
Sure.
And then lastly, one thing worth mentioning is that if he does take it over, you know, a policy can lapse if there are missed premiums. And generally, the life companies will notify you if there's a missed premium. But, you know, let's say your cousin changes his bank account for whatever reason, and geez, 2-3 missed premiums, and bam, that policy's cancelled, and it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
So he really needs to make sure that, you know, that there's money in that account and it can be funded and that the premiums are payable.
Yeah, and nobody wants to be throwing away money at this stage of the game. There really is a lot to think about here.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's probably worth getting some advice around it. So depending on this analysis that you do on a spreadsheet, I would suggest that he does not just become the beneficiary. You know, your aunt should cede the policy to him. So he actually becomes the owner. It does feel a little bit heartless discussing your kind of own parents' mortality, so it's going to be tough for him. But ultimately, it's going to come down to how long is he going to be paying these premiums for? What is the escalation on those premiums? And yeah, for how long? We don't know. So, and that, I guess, is the big uncertainty.
Okay. Well, while we're here, why don't you just remind me quickly, what is the general reason for taking out a life insurance policy?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Generally, life insurance is acquired by younger people, and I'm saying generally, and it's normally an insurance against a potential loss of earnings or a liability that you need to insure against. So young, you know, you may have a bond, let's say, or you may have young dependents, right? So the need for life cover exists. Probably when you haven't saved a lot, you have high debt and you have dependents. But as time passes, your children get a bit older and hopefully become a little less dependent on you, your bond slowly reduces. One is able to slowly chip down the amount of cover that you need. So in our meetings with clients, we, as they get closer to retirement, we actually look at reducing the amount of cover they have, and we will redirect those premiums actually into discretionary savings. So I say generally, because not everyone is the same and not everyone kind of has the same requirements.
Right. Okay, so then why or in what scenarios would keeping life cover in place for an elderly client be a good idea?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. And there are definitely cases for keeping life cover in place for elderly people. An example would be if children remain dependent on you for the rest of your life. So there's a really good reason. So it's not, you don't need to just have enough money for your life. You actually need to have enough money for their lives. So let's say, you know, children with an impairment that will definitely outlive their parents and they don't have the capacity to work and earn an income. So they need to be provided for. And so life cover is a great tool for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there are others. I mean, elderly folks who have debt, let's say, or loan accounts, it makes sense to keep life cover so that it's settled and the estate is settled. It's not, the estate doesn't have debt should they pass away. Or older parents who become dependents later in life and they become funded by their grown-up children. Okay, so this could be structured quite cleverly as a loan. So their grown-up children are funding them and the life policy pays out, but there's a loan against the estate. And so it's actually quite a clever way of reducing estate duty in their estates. And then probably another one is, you know, even for wealthy people, they still have life cover and that could be for estate planning purposes. That creates liquidity. Let's say an estate has lots of fixed assets, fixed property and things like that, and they don't want to sell to create liquidity for estate duty or executive fees, that sort of thing. So what do they do there is they have a life policy and it creates the much needed liquidity. So sometimes it even makes sense to keep life cover on elderly folks if they're part of a business enterprise. So a very good example here is the case of children insuring a dad, let's say, in order to be able to buy him out of a business, or let's call it a farming enterprise. This creates liquidity for the surviving spouse, for the mum, and it allows the business enterprise to continue with the children as the new owners. So it's kind of like a buy and sell agreement, if you will. So like, there are definitely cases for keeping life cover for elderly people. Some of them are very real financial planning reasons, which is kind of what I've just mentioned. And then there are other times where it's really an investment case.
Yeah. And I guess, as you've said before, all of these require some very careful thinking through around specific scenarios and then to implement and to plan as much as possible. So always consulting a qualified financial planner in this case, which I will most certainly pass on to my cousin. Thanks for talking me through the viability of taking over a parents' life policy, Brick. Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.